Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Peter had just got through saying, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And then that's when he said, wherefore, beloved, seeing ye that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. This is John Thrasher, and you're listening to Morning Devotions for the next 30 minutes. Peter said elsewhere in another one of his epistles, we don't follow some cunningly devised fable when we made known unto you the coming and power of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And listen, don't think for one moment that all of these promises in God's word regarding eternal life and heaven and being forever with the Lord and having a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, don't think for one moment that this is just some cunningly devised fable. Oh no, this is what gives you and me the incentive to live a godly and a holy life in the midst of a cesspool of corruption all around us. This world has never been a friend to grace. Down through the centuries, those who have followed the devil in his ways have always hated and despised and persecuted when they could, the children of light and those who walk in the ways of God and those who have chosen not to walk in the broad way that leads to destruction and hell, but to walk in the narrow way that leads to eternal life in heaven. And so the Christian today is surrounded with so much in our society that would ridicule and make fun of the beliefs and the faith of those who love God. It's always been that way. But I tell you what, it's going to be worth it all. Because our lives are so short. I don't have to tell you that. You know it. What is your life? Said James. It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. It's like a puff of smoke. It's here today and gone tomorrow. And your life is passing and my life is passing. I don't know why it is that insurance salesmen have such a hard time convincing people to buy their policy that someday they're going to die. I think we know it, but it seems so remote in the far-off nebulous future that we don't have to be prepared. Oh, yes, we do. How quickly. And in a moment of time, everything that we know can change. I don't say that to make you feel morbid or to scare you. I say that because it's the facts of life. That's true. We're here one moment, and the next moment we could be in eternity. And to the Christian, that's a beautiful thought. To think that face to face with Christ my Savior, I'm going to see Him. I'm going to behold the One that I have loved and served practically all my life. Well, at least since I was 12 years old, and maybe before that. Because I can remember times when I was 9 that I prayed to the Lord, but it was at the age of 12 that I actually knelt at an old-fashioned altar and turned my life completely over to Jesus Christ. And so I've loved Him practically all my life. And I look forward to the day when I shall see Him face to face. Tell the story saved by grace, don't you? Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless.
Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face what will it be when with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ, who died for me? Face to face I shall behold Him far beyond the starry sky. Glory, I shall see.
Dr. Valentine Mott saw the little girl and her widowed mother to the door. The noted New York surgeon had made an examination of the child's eyes, but there was nothing he could do that might restore her sight. When Fanny Jane Crosby was 6 weeks old in May of 1820, she had caught a cold, and a country doctor of Putnam County, New York, had unwittingly prescribed a hot mustard poultice for her inflamed eyes. The result was total blindness for life. Soon afterward, her father died. When she was 5 years old, sympathetic neighbors contributed money to send her to New York's famed Dr. Valentine Mott. But after an examination, Fanny Crosby heard the specialist say with a heavy heart, "Poor little blind girl." And that sympathetic expression by a great surgeon remained with Fanny Jane Crosby throughout her life. It is no overstatement that Frances Jane Crosby Van Alstyne was one of the most remarkable women who ever lived. Resigned to Dr. Mott's verdict that her eyesight could never be restored, Fanny Crosby turned her handicap into an asset. She has even said that her blindness was a blessing. For not being disturbed by things about her, she could more easily write her poems. At the early age of 8, she wrote, "Oh, what a happy child I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world contented I will be." After attending the New York Institute for the Blind, Fanny Crosby was placed on the staff as an instructor. And one day the superintendent found his secretary taking down verse while blind Fanny Crosby dictated. Both were warned against wasting the school's time, but the two kept up the practice. The secretary, of course, was Grover Cleveland. And in later years, Grover Cleveland even set aside affairs of state to take down verse for his ever-welcome guest at the White House. Though devoutly religious, Fanny Crosby wrote popular verse and secular songs until she was 44 years old. Here again, the church owes a debt of gratitude to William Bradbury, for it was William Bradbury who, in 1864, suggested to Fanny Crosby that she devote her talent to the cause of Christian worship in song. From that date, Fanny Crosby never wrote another secular song. Instead, she devoted the following half-century of her long life to creating gospel hymn poems, writing more than anybody else who has ever lived, almost 9,000. "Poor little blind girl," Dr. Mott had said. But Fanny Crosby never regarded herself as being unfortunate in her blindness. She even said that if God should offer her normal sight, she would decline it because when she reached heaven, the first face she wanted her eyes to behold would be that of her blessed Savior. And I tell you, so many of my favorite songs come from the composition of Fanny Crosby. She wrote this one: "When my life work is ended and I cross the swelling tide, when the bright and glorious morning I shall see, I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and His smile will be the first to welcome me. Oh, the soul-thrilling rapture when I view His blessed face and the luster of His kindly beaming eye, how my full heart will praise Him for the mercy, love, and grace that prepare for me a mansion in the sky. I shall know Him. As redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know him by the prints of the nails in His hand." And remember, she was blind all of her life, ever since she was 6 weeks old, and she lived to be up into her 90s. So many of us take the difficult things that happen in our lives, and we moan and groan over them and cry over them, and they become handicaps and burdens. That is such a mistake, isn't it? There have been those individuals who, down through the centuries, have proved the fact that no matter what the handicap, what the hindrance, if they would turn their lives over to God, He would make them a vessel of honor, meet for the Master's use, prepared unto every good work. And so can you, and so can I. Instead of always thinking of our handicap, of whatever kind it is, not just physical, there are a lot of things that hamper us. A lot of things that become a cross to be borne. But whatever it is, spiritually, physically, financially, interpersonal relationships, whatever it is that becomes something very hard to cope with God's help and grace, determine that you will do it anyway. And out of the bitter, be able to find the sweet. And out of the difficult, find God's grace more than sufficient. And turn your handicap into a blessing. How I appreciate the life of someone like Fanny Crosby. And God wants to use your life too. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are. If you will surrender all that you are to Him and say yes to God, He will make you a blessing. He will make you a blessing. And He already promised that if you will hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. So what are you waiting for? That's God's promise. It's an anchor for the soul. He said, if you will get down to business with God and love Him and worship Him and just give your heart to Him, He is going to be found by you and you will be filled with His fullness. And God will take your life and use you and make you a blessing. But it starts with surrender, doesn't it? As we surrender our all to God, in return, He will give His all to us. Does that not give us reason to exalt Him and to praise Him today? Our problem is we get our eyes so much on the negative. You hear me say this quite often. I say it because it's how we live every day, I'm afraid. Most of us, this is how we live. We live in the shadows. We live on the negative side. We don't take the promises of God and embrace them and say, Lord, I believe. We don't do that. Or if we do, it is very seldom. And God wants us to be filled with His fullness and begin living happy, victorious, overcoming Christian lives. And it is available. Praise God. The victorious life in Christ is available for anyone who wants it, who will be willing to say yes to God with all of his or her heart and soul. It starts with surrender. Lord, today, help us to give everything that we are and everything that we have to you, Lord, in full surrender, not holding back anything, but giving to you, Lord, every key of every room of our heart. And we will exalt you and we will praise your holy name. Thank you, God. In Christ's name, amen.
His mercies are new every morning. His love and His power abound. In all of the earth and heaven, none other like Him is found. Given me beauty for ashes, I'm clothed in a garment of praise. Exalt Him, Almighty King. Exalt Him, God of everything. Exalt Him, I lift my voice and exalt the Lord of Lords. Exalt Him, Almighty King. Exalt Him, God of everything.
Been with
through every trial. He's been with me through every test. I've learned that when I put my faith in God, my faith puts God at His best. Never one time has He failed me. He's never once left me alone. Exalt Him, Almighty King. Exalt Him, God of everything. Exalt Him, I lift my voice and exalt the Lord of Lords. Exalt Him, Almighty King. Exalt Him, God of everything. Exalt Him, I lift my voice and exalt the Lord of Lords. Exalt Him, I lift my voice and exalt the Lord of Lords. Exalt Him, Almighty King. Exalt Him, God of everything. Exalt Him, I lift my voice and exalt the Lord of Lords. Exalt Him, Almighty King. Exalt Him, God of everything. Exalt Him, I lift my voice and exalt the Lord of Lords. Exalt the Lord of Lords. Exalt the Lord of Lords.
Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. Exalt Him. Let us worship Him today. Give to Him everything that we are. Well, I thank God for the privilege of being able to share with you these 30 minutes of morning devotions. How often have you heard me quote the words, "Every morning lean thine arms a while upon the windowsill of heaven and gaze upon thy Lord. Then with a vision in thy heart, turn strong to meet thy day." That's what these devotional programs are all about. That's the one and only aim. That's it. To give you and me an opportunity together to lean our arms upon heaven's windowsill. Gaze into the face of Jesus. Let His loveliness and beauty and might and strength fill us through and through. And then with that vision of Jesus, turn strong to meet your day. Of course, there are responsibilities to be taken care of. Of course, you have to work for a living. Of course, you have to get out there among people who could care less about the things of God and so often use His name in profanity. But you live in this world, and you've got to be able to cope with it. And there are a lot of things happen that's so totally unfair and so hurtful and so corrupt and so evil. But that's why it's so important, first thing in the morning, to lean your arms upon heaven's windowsill and make sure that your heart and soul is filled with a vision of Jesus. And then turn strong to meet your day. Do your work. Fulfill the responsibility. Be faithful in what you've got to do. But go in the strength of the Lord God, not in your name and not in your might, but be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Well, thank you for giving me this opportunity to spend these 30 minutes with you devotionally every day, Monday through Friday at the same time, for a full half hour. And I do indeed count it a privilege to be able to tell you again and again, repeatedly, that there is a God in heaven who cares and understands. There is a God who loves you. Oh, so often we don't love Him. At least our actions and our behavior seem to testify and witness in other ways than our love for Him. Jesus said, "If you love me, do what I say. Keep my commandments." And so often our lives scream out, we don't love God. But God loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. May we begin to respond to that love and appreciate God. I don't think there's anything in life more hurtful than just simply not being appreciated. You parents know how it feels when you do and do and do for your kids and they don't seem to be appreciative or say thanks or show any gratitude. And it hurts, doesn't it? Or wives can feel that way toward their husbands, or husbands can feel that way toward their wives. After doing so much and so often not to feel gratitude or feel appreciated, you know that's how we treat God. He does so much for us. He gives us so much. And we show so little gratitude. Very seldom do we look up to heaven. Many people, that's how they live. Very seldom looking up to heaven to say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for watching over every sparrow. And thank you for watching over me. I thank you for it.
I trust in God. I know He cares for me.
I trust in God.
Wherever
I be."
Listen to this. That's powerful.
"Upon the land, and there have been times, upon the stormy sea."
Oh, come, but
I have a promise. "Come what may,
from day to day,
never leave me, never forsake me. From day to day,
my Heavenly Father watches over me.
My Heavenly Father watches over me. I trust in
sorry, my time's about gone. I've enjoyed being with you so much as we've shared together these 30 minutes of devotions. Our mailing address, Post Office Box 552, Bristol, Tennessee 37621. This is John Thrasher. Have a good day. God bless you.
He guides thee.